and welcome to another edition of the Screen Nerds Podcast. My name's Michael Burgett, and thanks for joining me for this quick screen episode of Godzilla Minus One. Brand new film, just out in theaters, checked it out, and wanted to share some of my thoughts with you on the film. Now, the film is the latest in the long and illustrious history of the Godzilla film franchise. It is, I think, technically the fifth of this era, which is the Reiwa. I believe it's the Reiwa era, which is interesting considering that I think three of the five are animated films. And then you have Shin Godzilla and now Godzilla Minus One. And in this film, it is a period piece because it is set in the post-war Japan. So late 1947, like the beginning of the film is right at the end of the war in 1945. And then progresses on through 46 and into 47. And it is a reimagining of sorts of the 1954 film, which saw the introduction of Godzilla. Here we see a version of Godzilla that shows up in post-war Japan, and we have both the introduction of the Godzilla that we see in the beginning parts of it. We also have the atomic bomb, which kind of springs forth the Godzilla that we know. And we see the destruction that Godzilla wrecks all over Japan. And in this version, the human story centers around a failed, quote-unquote, kamikaze pilot by the name of Koichi, who was, you know, called upon to be a kamikaze pilot in World War II and decides not to go through with it and ends up abandoning his post, essentially, and living. And he, because he does this, he's disgraced. He's looked down upon by the Japanese society. And he, as well as having to pick up the pieces from all that he lost, like losing his family, his parents, and you know, the destruction of where he's from, he also has to carry that shame and guilt. And you know, we see through the course of the film his encounters with Godzilla, and you know, dealing with that, dealing with the traumas of that, dealing with the traumas of war, and coming to grips with, you know, and understanding, you know, what is he living for? And what is his purpose? What is his meaning? And then you also have other characters alongside that. But really, the Godzilla aspect of it is we see kind of a new introduction of Godzilla in a different time period than we're used to seeing. And then the human side of it, it's that story of Koichi and having to come to terms with all the loss, all the pain, all the suffering that he's gone through and working through it. And that's really the premise of the film. I'm trying to be as much non-spoilery as possible because I want to talk about this film so bad. And because if you know me and you know this podcast and you know anything about, like I said, me, you know I'm a huge Godzilla fan. I love Godzilla. I love the Showa era. I love the Heisei era. I even love the Millennium era, even though there were some films in there I didn't necessarily like. And I like this new era. And I love the MonsterVerse, the legendary MonsterVerse, even though there's some that don't really like that those films. But I love Godzilla. When Godzilla is done right, it is just the perfect thing for me. And so I was super hyped for this film. It was on my list of most anticipated films for a long time. Seeing the trailers got me hyped for it, just the anticipation of it. And I knew this was a film that I wasn't going to be disappointed in. And I say that because the director of the film is also the writer of the film, and he's also the visual effects supervisor for the film. He covers all of that. And he's also a huge Godzilla fan. And so I trusted that he knew what he was doing, that he loved this character, loved this franchise, and that he was going to do right by it. And watching this film, he completely did right by it. I love this film. It is so awesome. It is so good. There's so many good things about this film. It is just, oh, I love this film. There's so many things they get into. The acting I thought was great. I love the actor that plays Koichi. I feel like he does such a tremendous job of embodying someone who has dealt with not just the traumas of war, but the traumas of multiple Godzilla encounters. Like, he carries with him that the guilt, the survivor's remorse, the post-traumatic stress disorder of war, and all these different things that he carries with him. Shame, loss, all these things. And you see it in his reactions and how he conveys himself. There are brief moments when he has that joy, and you see that in some of the interactions. But a lot of times he's carrying that burden. And it's interesting in a kaiju film to have that. It's not necessarily where you get in these kind of films. You get them in war films a lot, where you get these type of emotions and get this type of burden to carry. But in a kaiju film, you don't necessarily get that. But because of the setting that it's in, you have that as almost a part of it. It's baked into the DNA of it. And so I thought the actor that played Koichi was just tremendous in that. The cast overall is great. I really love the boat crew that he works on. Koichi does as kind of his post-war job. And you have Doc, and you have the captain, and you have the kid, and all those actors are so great. Like, they all play those roles so well, with the captain being the guy that doesn't like the government, but, you know, he's a hard dude, but he's lovable. And then you got the kid who didn't go to war. He kind of lionizes those that went to war and wanted to be a part of that. And of course, the older guys understand, you know, war is not something to be, you know, lionized. It's not something to achieve. And it, you know, they even say at one point to the kid, it's a good thing that you didn't go to war. And then Doc is probably, like, besides Koichi and Naoki, I always forget the main female character's name. She was tremendous as well, the actress that played her. But Doc is probably my other favorite character. He was an ex-Navy, you know, official, like, tech guy. He comes up with essentially the plan to, you know, to take care of Godzilla or try to take out Godzilla. He comes off as a smart guy, but also as a, he doesn't think too highly of himself. Which, again, it's refreshing to have that in a film like this. There's so much good stuff. The visual effects, like I said, the director, writer, it was also the visual effects guy, supervisor. The visual effects are so tremendous. And considering the fact that the budget was, I believe it was like $15 million, so for the entire film, and the visual effects that they do in this film, it is astonishing. It is probably the best special effects I have ever seen in a Godzilla film. And that's counting all the legendary MonsterVerse films. This film blows them out of the water as far as how they make Godzilla look. Everything from the appearance to the attacks that Godzilla does to the heat ray and how they prepare that. It's just visually stunning. The music is perfect. Perfect. Especially because they used Akira Ifukube's Godzilla theme multiple times in this film. And it just comes off so perfectly and so timely. And just every time that music played and you saw Godzilla there, it just, it felt right. It felt perfect. And so that was tremendous. Oh, gosh, there's so much good stuff. I love the nods to the original film. There were so many good nods there and tip of the caps to the 54 version that you see. Again, it's a testament to how much of a fan the director was that he gave those little tips. And if you know those films, if you know the Godzilla films, you see them, you pick them up. But if you don't know those necessarily, or they're not, you know, in front of mind, they still work and they still give that sense of whether it's urgency, whether it's terror, whether it's, you know, excitement, whatever it is, you have all those little things that are part of this film that just make this thing feel so special. I really didn't have anything negative for this film. There really isn't, to me, anything that was like a detriment, a negative. You know, it's 2 hours. I've heard some people say that it drags a little bit. I didn't feel the drag. I didn't necessarily, but, you know, there may be some people that might feel that. This film was just, it was beautifully made. It was beautifully shot. It was beautifully written. And, you know, it's in subtitles. It's in its original Japanese language. There was no dubbing for this. It's in subtitles. And I know some people, subtitles are not their thing. I personally don't have a problem with subtitles. I've seen plenty of films. I've seen plenty of Godzilla films in subtitles. And I don't necessarily have a problem with that. It's one of those things you kind of just get used to it after a while. Watching these type of films is that sometimes you just got to read the text. And the thing is, though, with a film like this is you can see facial expressions and you can see the reactions. And those are universal. Those are things that come across and that everybody can understand and relate to. But I think even with the subtitles, like you read the text of what the translation is and the lines, some of them, like I mentioned the one about how Doc and Captain tell Kid, you know, it's a good thing that you never went to war, you know those type of lines. There's another line about, you know, asking Koichi if he's still fighting this war. And so many good lines that really add depth to the human story. And again, you know, Godzilla films are not necessarily strong in the human element of it. But I feel like with this one, it really does have that element of strength in telling the human story. And I feel like the great Godzilla films have that balance of the kaiju part of it and the human part of it. When both are told well, you get a great Godzilla film. Both of them are told well here. Therefore, this is a great Godzilla film. Probably the only negative I had is that I didn't get to see it in IMAX. I would have loved to have seen it on that huge IMAX screen and hearing the music and the sounds of Godzilla's roar in IMAX. And that's the only negative. So I would say to you, if you're a huge Godzilla fan, obviously you probably already have seen Godzilla and you're probably going to go see it again. And I would recommend doing that again. But if you're, you know, if you're someone who's, you know, relatively new to Godzilla, or you've only seen the MonsterVerse legendary films that have come out in the last 10 years or so, and, you know, you want to get introduced into, you know, the Japanese Toho Godzilla version, I would highly recommend this film. There are very few films that I would recommend higher than this one. Obviously, the 54 film, I would, and maybe a couple of others, but this is one that I think is right up there with the original as far as how it was made, the love and the work that was put into it, and the results. I think the results of this film speaks for itself. Granted, you know, you if you're not someone who is, you know, well versed in, you know, subtitles and watching films like that, you know, that may be something that may be a little hard to get into at first, but I promise you, once you get into seeing this film and really just dive into it, and trust me, it doesn't take long for this film to pull you right into the story. You do not have to wait long for Godzilla to show up, and you are brought right into it, and you are full throttle from there. But this is a film that I would dare say it's one of my favorite films of the year. Easy. I would even probably put it in my top three. And maybe even top one. Granted, there's still a month to go. There's still some more films to watch, but it is definitely in my elite tier of films for this year, both in being my favorite films and also just how well done it is. It is a quality film. Kudos to the team that made this. I love it, and I hope that you get a chance to check it out and that you love it as well. So that's my thoughts on Godzilla Minus One. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the film when you see it, or any film that you've been checking out of late. You can let me know your thoughts anytime by email, screennerdspodcast@gmail.com. You can always find us on Twitter @ScreenNerdsPod and tweet your thoughts there. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, and Blue Sky. Can't forget Blue Sky. Just by searching Screen Nerds Podcast, hitting that like button, hitting that follow button, and sharing your thoughts there. And if you get an opportunity, please rate and review and subscribe to the podcast. We're on all the places that you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Good Pods, CastBox, Amazon Music, Google, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. You can find us there just by searching Screen Nerds Podcast. Hit that subscribe button, leave a written review, leave a 5-star review, hopefully, and share the podcast around. We'd really appreciate it. So again, thanks for joining me for this quick screen episode. My name is Michael Burgett, and we will catch you on the next episode.